Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Lefondre looking to get Coastside of Font. Lefondre away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to another Elm Park Roars preview podcast. We're joined, as always, by Jonathan Lowe. How are you, Jonathan?
Hello. Yes, good. Thank you, Matt. All good.
And the world of Reading has not been particularly bright this week, has it?
No, it hasn't, no. I don't think people expected to get a result at Millwall, and defeat was probably what most people anticipated. But it was a bit of a similar story to Bournemouth on Saturday, really, wasn't it? It was a good first half, didn't take chances. Things change up in the second half. Players tire, opposition get the goals, and that's it. Not really any chance of a comeback. So sadly, it's another defeat. Four defeats in a row now, and the international break can't come quick enough.
Yeah, and particularly when Paunovic is also, you know, out with COVID. He obviously missed the game at Millwall. I thought they might have shelved the change of formation because of that, but no, they went ahead with that new 5-3-2 shape. I'm fascinated to know how this kind of squad responded to having to effectively sit in a Zoom meeting at halftime with him giving the team talk. That must have been an interesting experience. Not the first one he's done, I don't think, because obviously he had to isolate in the first game that when he came over here. I think he did something similar. He obviously will not be back for Birmingham. And I believe that Yeardon won't be either if he's isolating with COVID. Is that right?
Yes, I mean, I assume so. I think the period of isolation, I think, is about 10 days now. I can't quite keep up, but it'll certainly be at least a week. So, yes, I'm not expecting him to be involved on Saturday.
And that means that Marko Mitrovic has another go in the dugout. It's kind of hard to know how much is his input and how much is Paunovic's, but the decisions on the sidelines against Millwall doesn't really feel like it was the issue. It was the same issue that we've had the last few weeks now with bodies tiring, is it?
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. I didn't see Quinton Fortune or Nuno Gomes on the bench either, so I assume they possibly might be isolating as well. As you had Mehmet Ali, the under-23s coach, you also had someone who I can't remember off my head. Well, no, Michael Morrison, that was it. with his knee brace on, he was sort of directing proceedings from the touchline as well. So a few fresh faces in the dugout. And yeah, like you say, it wasn't really down to them. It was just a same old story of fatigue kicking in. And, you know, a strong, intense first half, energetic first half showing. Unfortunately, they didn't score when they were on top, and ultimately they lost it to Benik Afobe's goal, which George Puskas is absolutely crying out for that chance. To be fair to Alashkoff, he came in at right wing back. He did well, and I thought he put in some a couple of really nice crosses. Because nearly got on the end of one of them. But he just crying out for that chance, just an absolute tap in from 4 or 5 yards out with no one to beat. It's the goal is there to be scored in, and I think even him right now he would score in it. So it's just the way things are going at the moment. Things aren't falling for Reading in a lot of senses, and it's going to be another tough game on Saturday at Birmingham City. But you know, we'll have to wait and see if they can if they can produce the first half from the past couple of games, and they can get that all elusive goal, then perhaps they might pick up a result.
Yeah, I mean, as with almost every Reading game recently, it feels like, as you say, there are positives to take out from it. Do we think that they'll stick with the formation they played midweek at St Andrews, or will we revert to the 4-2-3-1, do you think?
It's a good question. I think may well stick with what they did at Millwall. I think it worked quite nicely. It gave them some sort of good balance down the flanks. I liked Babaraman going forward. He was especially good in the first half. And like I said, Tyrell Ashcroft did right on the right-hand side as well. Clearly we shouldn't expect too much of him. He's only 17, I think. He's barely played any under 23s football, let alone first team football. So, you shouldn't expect too much from him. But you've obviously got Tom Holmes coming in at in central defence as well, and he's a good steady player. Nothing spectacular from him, but he certainly does the basics right. And if even one of Dili Bashiru, Swift or Jarek, wins. And Puskas, obviously, if even one of them can bring their A game and try and create that little spark in the final third and get the goal, then hopefully we'll be going into the international break in a lot more positive mood. So yes, I know it's all ifs and buts at the moment, but I think that there were some encouraging signs from Tuesday night, and like we said against Bournemouth as well, that there were some good signs, and I actually spoke to a few people connected with Bournemouth sort of in the following days from that game, and they said that Reading were one of the best sides they've played this season so far. So that just shows how well they did do. Unfortunately, obviously, they didn't get the result, but perhaps we're being a bit too harsh on them at times. It's a very stretched squad right now. We all know that the injuries have absolutely decimated the options available to Veljko Paunović, and the ones that are playing right now making a good fist of it, but unfortunately falling short. But it's not through lack of trying, it's just through to various other factors kind of outside of their control, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And the first 11, I don't think is ever really, the quality of them has never really been in question. It's just, well, maybe individuals here and there, naming no names, but as a squad, it's never really been in question, and that they are good enough on their day to turn over a team like Fulham is evident of that. Obviously, we had a few more players at that point, but not many more. That comes to something that Paunović mentioned, I think it was after Bournemouth, where he kind of was a little bit annoyed at the fan reaction to the squad and the way they played. He wasn't particularly happy that they didn't just have the full backing of the fans, given everything that's going on behind the scenes. Is that fair?
It's a slightly weird one. I'm not actually sure whether it was directed at the fans or the media or just, I don't know, people in general. It kind of came at the end of the press conference. I asked him about whether the first goal from Solanke, whether that was down to zonal marking. Clearly it was, because Cahill wasn't it that got the free header at the back post, and then it just kind of slightly went off on one in terms of needing a bit more respect and everything. I don't know whether it was the media or fans or someone else he was aiming that at, I think everyone's entitled to their opinion, and clearly frustrations have been boiling over at times recently. And probably for good reason, because players are not performing to their potential. Some of them obviously missing the chances, and they're not getting the results, and they're slowly sliding down the league. So it's quite a worrying time, and you can understand the frustrations of supporters. And, 99% of fans out there, I'm sure, are backing the team. That's what you do as a fan, isn't it? You back them through thick and thin. Especially when times aren't going too well for you, that's when everyone needs to pull together. And the fans do appreciate the players and the effort that they are putting in. They're just frustrated that having had the highs of that mid-September run, five wins in six, I think it was. We're kind of back to square one. So it's unfortunate, but it's not. Not unpredictable the way that fans have reacted, I think, in the past few weeks, and probably media as well. I generally don't think I've been too negative, but perhaps I have, and maybe he doesn't like that.
Yeah, well, and when you write something, you never really know how someone's going to take it, even if you've hoped that it will be taken one way. Yeah. If you read it in the wrong mood, it could be taken in completely a different way, I guess. And that's a problem with social media and a problem with traditional media, I guess. And one question about Birmingham. You mentioned Tyrrell Ashcroft there. Do we expect him to start this weekend? Because I guess most of the first 11 is pretty much set in stone. He's the one that there might be question marks over whether to keep playing him.
Yeah, I mean, I guess perhaps if it was a Wednesday night game, then there would have been a shorter turnaround, and perhaps he might not have been thrown in on Saturday. But I think because they've obviously had kind of the extra day, if you like, you showed plenty of promise. There's not really too many other ways that Panovic or Mitrovic or whoever decides the team, obviously it will be Panovic, but how they can line up. So I think he did well, and I think having kind of Holmes not kind of sort of directly behind him, but sort of behind him enough to give him that sort of experience and knowledge about what to do and sort of where to be positionally, that obviously helps him. And playing that right wing back, it means he's not sort of he's got a bit more license to go forward a bit more, and you have to rely on him 100% defensively to make all his challenges, because you've got some of the centre backs covering. So I think I probably would expect to see him start. Clearly he's a bit of an unknown quantity as well, so it's the Birmingham won't know too much about him, and you never know that could work in Reading's favour. And like I said earlier, he put in some really nice crosses on Tuesday night, and I think that's something that Reading have perhaps been a bit lacking a bit, that quality into the box, maybe he's the answer.
Yeah, interesting what you said there about kind of having cover, because I feel like Panovic did something very similar when Ethan Bristow was in the team, when we didn't really have a proper left back. He played, I can't remember if he played back three, or he kind of played Bristow half on the wing and half at wing back, I think it does show Panovic's kind of reluctance sometimes to just throw these guys straight in to the deep end, if you want, not playing them as proper fullbacks, but as you say, giving them that extra cover and I guess trying to set them up to succeed, which he's obviously been criticised, I guess, about his youth record this year. But when he does put youth players in, it does feel like he thinks about how to utilise them and get the best out of them. And that's something positive to see, obviously. There's been some, I'm not sure if it's an update on the points deduction front, but obviously we've heard more that it might be a 9-point deduction with three suspended now. Obviously that is more than many were expecting. A few weeks ago, it sounded more like it would be a 6-point deduction. I guess the players and maybe even the manager won't be thinking about it too much. Is it something that we as fans really need to worry about? Do you think that we'll pick up enough points to steer clear? Obviously, at the minute, it would put us into the bottom three.
Yeah, I kind of think for everyone's sake, it'll be good if it's obviously clarified sooner rather than later. I think it's certainly in the back of players' minds and probably the coaching staff as well, because they know it's coming. You know, I think anything between 6 and 9 points, I think, and you know that clearly that's going to affect their chances this season of doing well. In terms of if they'll pick up enough points to survive, I think they will. Even with the points deduction, I think that makes it a lot more difficult. And like I think your colleague Paul said, I think survival is probably going to be the main aim this season. You can't really jazz it up any other way. That's what it is. And I know Panovic talked about top six earlier this week, but I think realistically, with this points deduction coming, it's going to be about survival. And I think even if they didn't have the points deduction, they're probably only going to be looking at sort of mid-table at best. So yes, it is a worry. It's just the uncertainty of not knowing when it's going to happen. I think that's the issue, really. Once it is slapped on Reading, if you like, then hopefully kind of that's maybe the beginning of the end in terms of punishments from the EFL. But clearly you've got the transfer embargo as well, so I think that's going to be running in January. So there's a lot of sort of difficult things to navigate over the next few months. But fans can worry about it, but I guess all they can do is turn up in numbers on a match day, get behind the team, and hopefully spur them on to some positive results, and we'll see where it takes them.
Yeah, Paul got a bit of stick for saying that we were should be focusing on steering away from relegation, but with the team and the way it is and that incoming points deduction, I think it's unrealistic really to expect anything else. And that doesn't necessarily mean to say that that has to be the end goal, I guess, but in the short term, it definitely does have to be the main focus, at least in my mind, and as you say, Paul's mind and others. With the situation in the club as it is, with Panovic out through COVID, obviously, so many players missing, and everything else, is it more about just getting through this game against Birmingham, trying to pick up a point would be good given the current run, and then resetting in the international break the week after, more than it might be about going to try and go all out and win the game, I guess?
Expectations are pretty low, I think, right now. So if they can get a point, that would certainly be a successful return. Whether they're going to international break on the back of 4 defeats in a row or 5 defeats in a row probably won't actually matter too much. It's certainly that international break's really just about getting some players back, ideally, and refreshing, regrouping, etc., and getting going after the international break. I think it's away at Forest. So it's just about sort of getting through this game, I think, hopefully as unscathed as possible. And if they can somehow nick a result, then great. Expectations are low, so perhaps that might do them a favour, just having that freedom of just going all out, giving it a go. But I guess you don't want to give it a go too much, because they might push themselves too much and pick up injuries. So I think a point would be a very decent return, I think.
Yeah, and especially given that Birmingham have gone into this match on the back of 3 wins, it's going to be a tough one. And what is your score prediction? How confident are you?
Sadly, on this occasion, I know I said that they beat Bournemouth, and they could have done, actually. But I think, realistically, I'm probably going to go for a 2-0 defeat, I'm afraid. As I'd like to say they might nick a 1-1 draw, but I think it's going to be 2-0 home win for Birmingham.
Yeah, I don't think you're the only one. I think that's the scoreline that a lot of, I think, Alex and Matt Lansley went with in the post-match from Millwall. So I'm going to be a bit more hopeful, because I'm travelling up and I'd like to not see a loss. So, it could definitely be the day where we get a 1-0 smash and grab. That's what I'm holding on to in my heart. I'm not sure that I completely believe it, but you got to go into these games with optimism. I say that every week. So
they've had a couple of good results at Birmingham in the last few years. So it's quite a happy hunting ground for them. So yeah, you never know.
Yeah, it could go anyway, couldn't it? And Maybe this is the week that Puskás gets his first goal.
Maybe. That's all I'm saying. Maybe
1-0 win, George Puskás winner. Everyone will be happier. Everyone. I'm not sure it'll happen, but that we can dissect that in the post-match pod. Well, thanks very much, Jonathan. We'll see you again after the international break, I'm sure. Up next is Tom from the Blues Focus podcast.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I am here with the Blues Focus podcast. How are you doing, mate?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you yourself, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. I mean, you were just saying last time we spoke, things were so different. I think it was literally the day you were hiring. Everything's got out of my mind already. It normally takes at least a couple of questions for me to forget everything. But
Bowyer's debut.
Yeah. This season, it's going a little bit better for you, solidly mid-table. How's he doing, and how's your season been?
It's been a roller coaster, that's for sure. I think, to be honest, we could be higher than we are, but I'm very happy with sort of where we are at the moment. 4 games ago, it was a very dismal run of form. No goal in 7, no win in 6. No win in 6, no goal in 7. There you go. And it was just awful. It was really awful. It was sort of like, is it ever going to turn around? Is this just going to be the demise of Bowyer? But it's not like we weren't playing good football, because we really, really were. We were creating some brilliant chances, defending relatively well. We just couldn't hit the back of the net at all. And then now it's 3 wins in our last 4, 4 clean sheets in our last 4. And we've scored, I think it's like 9 or 8 in our last 3 games. So all of a sudden it's just clicked. We finally started getting a bit of luck. And obviously yesterday we beat Bristol City 3-0. So we're on the up, and it is makes a nice change, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, what is the difference, I guess, in finishing? Have you changed strikers, or is it just that, you know, people who were missing have started scoring?
To be honest, I think we've just created a higher volume of chances. Although we were creating a fair amount of chances before, I've sort of started calling Scott Hogan Mr. 1 in 10 at this point, because it really is like 1 in every 10 chances he scores. No matter how easy a chance could be, he'll probably still miss it. But the goals are coming for him now at the moment, which is great. But Troy Deeney has been at the heart of that, to be honest. Troy Deeney is the big reason Scott Hogan is back in form again. Because I never really knew Troy Deeney actually had this side to his game. But the Premier League caliber is so clear, it's unbelievable. But he just passes the ball so well, and he's such a good striker to play off. Especially if you are sort of that pacey in behind striker, he can be that target man that holds up the ball for you and can pick a pass out of nothing. And Deeney's just brought the best out of Hogan, and that's where a lot of the goals are coming from. But also we're good with set pieces anyway, and we've got a lot of big players in the squad. And some of the midfielders are starting to step up now with a few goals in the team too. So, I think it is just a higher volume of chances. But we're finally just starting to get that little bit of a clinical edge. But I think a lot of it was just down to rubber the green, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much variance in football that sometimes things do just go against you, right? But speaking of Troy Deeney, he obviously was one of the kind of big transfers, although Birmingham City transfers seem to have been fairly decent. You say he's been good. Like, he's obviously been in and out of the side a little bit. What's his fitness like? And presumably now he's going to stay in the team, is he?
Yes, definitely. He's finally sort of started to hit match fitness. It's not quite completely there. So that's why he does seem to get subbed off like the 60th, 70th minute, something like that. He does seem to be playing more minutes every game he starts now. But he's starting because he's just fantastic. He's made the name for himself. He has for a reason. He could probably still play in the Premier League now, to be honest. He's not an out-and-out goal scorer like he has been before. But he just plays everybody into the game so well. He really, really holds us together. He's like a glue, in a sense, for the team. But he's also started wearing the armband recently as well. So he's bringing his captaincy skills into the side. And it's just clicked. It's just clicked. And his partnership with Hogan is probably the key, really. They did take some time to gel, and he was in and out. But he's definitely asserted his place in there now. With, the last three games have been man of the match worthy performances, to be honest. But everyone's been playing so well, you just can't pick one. I think Deeney and Hogan will probably be the regular strike force for the rest of the season if there's no injuries. But we've still got such a good threat on the bench in Djukovic and Anike. Two very, obviously, very big strikers. But Anike is a lot more mobile than Juki, but Juki is probably more clinical than Anike. So, there's a lot of options in the side, but Deeney and Hogan just click the best at the moment.
And you kind of said earlier that you could be higher in the table. At the minute, I think you're 13th. Obviously, you mentioned the kind of ups and downs of your season so far. I mean, you beat Luton 5-0 and then, went on that sort of terrible run. Where do you think you'll finish? Do you think you have enough to push into the top 10, or are you just kind of content with where you are now?
Well, I'm happy with where we are, to be honest, but I do think we could push higher. However, injuries are starting to take its toll on this side now. Maxime Collins injured. He won't be back for a little while. Christian Pedersen, he's injured. Jordan Graham and Deion Sanderson both picked up a knock yesterday, and so did Scott Hogan. But I reckon at least two of those will be back. Graham might be back. Scott will probably be back. Deion Sanderson, though, is looking a doubt, which is a real shame because he's been a fantastic defender for us since he's been starting. Do have the likes of Harley Dean on the bench, who did come on last night at halftime and was okay. But still a tiny bit shaky. So I don't know. I'm not completely confident in that one. However, we just are being smacked with injuries at the moment. And Riley McGree, he's going back to Charlotte in January, which is his parent club. They're a brand new formed MLS club. That's why McGree's been with us for the last year and a half, just loaned to us to keep fitness and stuff. But now he's become one of the most important parts of the team, and we have to let him go in January. And Charlotte don't seem like they're going to budge on this one either, whether it was a permanent offer or a loan for the rest of the season. They see him as a very important part of their new setup. So it's unfortunate, but we just have to replace him. And then today it's come out, obviously, to Heath Chong, probably one of our players of the season so far, has had to go back to Man United now because of such a silly injury. But he literally, they weren't even playing in training or anything. It was nothing in particular. Nothing was going on. He just played a 5-yard pass back onto the field of play, and he's pulled his groin, and now he's out for 5 months. So he's gone back to Man United for his rehab. That is a huge loss for us because Tahith Chong has literally been one of the key men so far this season. So I feel like the big missing point will be a number 10 come January. But at the moment, we're just sort of fitting people in where we can, particularly in those wing-back slots. But Bella and Graham have been excellent, to be fair, especially yesterday as well. So hopefully Graham's fit, but he should be. We do have some options, but we are starting to have to dip in the youth academy now. So January could be big for us.
Yeah, it sounds like you've almost got as many injuries as we do. Although last count, it was like the whole first team are out injured for Reading. So
Jesus.
maybe not quite that many. Let's turn our attention to the actual match and Birmingham's play style. You're not one that kind of hoard possession or anything, are you? You are very much a counter-attacking team.
Yes, 100%. However, it's quite weird, to be honest, because it doesn't... We feel like we're on the ball a lot. This is the thing. We do feel like we're on the ball a lot. And I think that's just down to what you remember from a football game anyway. And that, to me, feels like we're on the front foot a lot of the game. We tend to win the ball high up the pitch, and we'll just constantly press and press and press. It's not aggressive press. It's just very smart positioning and knowing when to time those runs to intercept a pass. So we have been very smart defensively recently, and that, you know, that's why we've kept 4 clean sheets in our last 4 games. We've got the most clean sheets in the league at the moment. There's definitely something that's working for us defensively, that's for sure. But it's going to be a shame probably missing Deion Sanderson on Saturday, but hopefully not. But I'm not keeping my hopes up. But it does just feel, it's not like we don't create a lot of chances either. Because despite probably having like 25% possession every single game, we tend to create more chances than the side we play against. So we use the ball very well. That's the main thing to take from it.
Oh, well, you can say that about Reading sometimes as well. It just depends on whether the one shot we have per match goes in, which occasionally it does, and then that's quite a nice day out.
I'm sure Milivic will score a hat trick. I wouldn't sway if he's back from injury. That is.
Well, that's the thing. He's been posting pictures in the gym saying he's back soon, but whether he'll be back for Saturday, I'm not sure.
I hope not. I really hope not.
We could do with him, to be honest, because as I say, the squad is threadbare. You say Deion Sanderson's going to be out. Obviously, there's a few other injury doubts. Is there anyone that you would like to see get a chance? Maybe a youngster or something that could play this weekend?
Interesting question, to be fair. We do have a youngster. I think he's just coming back from injury now, actually. Marcel Oakley, right wing back. There's potential of seeing him if Jordan Graham isn't fit for the game. And then you've also got, I'm trying to remember his name now. I feel like it's Jordan James or Jordan Justin. I think it's Jordan James. He made his debut yesterday, coming from the academy, sort of a winger / attacking midfielder. We might see a bit more of him on Saturday, I imagine, to be honest, after making his first debut yesterday off the bench. But there was promising signs from him, and he does seem to be doing well at youth level. I think he's only 18 years old, so fingers crossed that he's a promising prospect, because we need more attacking midfielders with one we've just lost and one we're going to lose. There's definitely some youngsters in the squad that could play, but I don't think we'll see any of them start.
No, but it's always nice to see academy prospects.
Yeah, definitely.
Isn't it? And it just makes me miss the days of Michael Elise at the Medeski Stadium. But never mind, he's tearing it up in the Premier League now. And Omar Richards and Danny Loader. Oh, mate, Reading's academy was so good.
What happened to Danny Loader, by the way?
He went to Porto, and he normally plays for their B team, and he had his debut for the A team this week and actually scored. So,
oh wow, that's fantastic. He's a career mode legend for me, by the way. I'm just throwing that out there on FIFA. I had a Port Vale career mode, and I did the full 15 seasons, won the Premier League, never won the Champions League, only ever got to the semis. But Danny Loader was like my best striker. So there you go, fun fact.
Well, I think the people at Porto really like him, so hopefully he'll get time there. I mean, he's not in the team for the Champions League, so he's still got some way to go, but a decent debut nonetheless.
Definitely, yeah. Is Richard all right at Bayern Munich, by the way?
Yeah, so he actually did play in the Champions League yesterday. Yeah, I just as a second half sub, but I think he got like half an hour because Alphonso Davies is a little bit in and out of the team. So, yeah, I mean, it's
fair play.
They've both gone and done well. All three of those and Elise as well have gone and made pretty decent, you know, steps up. So, if nothing else, it does show how good Reading's academy actually is, and hopefully we'll have some more coming through. But let's not get into the politics of Reading's academy at the minute. We had to let a whole age group go, and it might be a little bit of time till the next guys are ready to step up.
The next golden generation, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And we've had a few false dawns before as well. So you never really know, do you, until they're actually there.
That's true. I mean, you've had quite a few players that you've let go and have actually gone on to do well, to be fair. I mean, I remember we got Steve Seddon from your academy. He did all right for us at first team level. In the end, just couldn't quite break in past the competition he had in the squad. But he's now gone to Oxford and he's scoring every like 2 or 3 weeks. So, yeah, and he's only a left back.
Well, I mean, Oxford United are basically Reading B. Like the amount of old Reading players that end up there and at Swindon, just they kind of all move around those three clubs. I guess it's nice, you know, easy geography wise.
Yeah, definitely.
I imagine you've got a fairly similar thing in Birmingham and out to Warsaw.
Literally, there's quite a few. I think Wes McDonald is the one that comes to mind the most, to be honest. But we do send quite a few to Warsaw.
Well, that's where Troy Deeney, obviously.
Yep.
Started his career, isn't it?
Walsall and Burton Albion tend to be a few that we send players to be honest.
Yeah, but Burton Albion don't have quite the rivalry with you like they do with Derby or Forest, I guess. Yeah. Right. Anyway, one final question for you, and that is what do you think the score is going to be?
My gut feeling says 1-1. I feel like on paper, you look at it and think, oh, Blues should piss this, realistically. Because we are in very good form. Reading is sort of on and off. You've just had the points deduction news. I remember when we got the points deduction news, we went on a 6-game losing run. So I don't wish that upon you, but who knows? You can never really predict it. But yeah, I don't know. I just feel like you're going to get something out of the game. I feel like we might be the better side on the day, but our luck will probably run out at some point, but a point wouldn't be awful. I'd like to say, oh, yeah, another 3-0 or another 2-0, but I don't want to get too carried away because I've seen how inconsistent this team can be, and that still plays on the back of my mind. And I have been very positive in my predictions recently. I probably predicted us to win our last three that we've actually won. So, I just got this feeling. It's just one of those. I feel like it could be a 1-1. But if either team was going to win it, I would back Blues, to be honest, on the day to grab the 3 points. But we'll see. What about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, every opposition fan keeps coming on here and predicting draws. And to be honest, most of the time, I'd absolutely snap your hand off for a draw, particularly this time. Apparently, we haven't lost 5 in a row since 1998 or something. So, I'm going to go into it with some positivity, I think. I think much like you were saying about your bad run, I don't necessarily think we've been terrible in this run. I'd take a 1-1. I'm going to predict 1-0 Reading. Yeah, we'll have one of those away games where we score early and sit back. You've got to have hope, which is exactly what I was saying last week before we got hammered.
I remember last season when I had you on over on our channel, you predicted 3-0 Reading. Then we went 2-1, and Lee Bowyer had only been in the job for a day, less than a day, in fact. And we hadn't won in like months. So
it was one of the days where I was not particularly happy after the match, to be honest.
I can imagine, to be fair.
Let's not rehash last season. It was fun for the beginning, but towards the end, it dipped a little bit.
Phased out, yeah.
Yeah, well, Tom, thanks very much for coming on. Good luck for the rest of the season, and who knows what Birmingham could end up doing. I hope to see you pushing towards the top half of that table.
Thank you very much. Hopefully we can. I mean, if we do win on Saturday, then I do believe we're currently 2 points off fifth. So who knows? Who knows where we could end up after Saturday? I'll be hoping, of course. But we'll see. We'll see. I'd probably take a point, to be honest. I just want to keep this run going, unbeaten run. So we'll see. I think somebody's at the door. That's probably my pudding. So I apologise for the dog and the doorbell.
Well, I see it's an excellent place to leave it. Thanks very much, Tom.